Hello, Panther fans, and welcome to another edition of the Hail Podcast presented by Bruce Walters Ford and Faith Pharmacy. I beg you to please buy local during these hard times, okay?
Hard times?
Hard times. Man,
yeah.
Just
bear. Especially when they're hard.
Just bear with me right now, okay?
I know, man.
Yeah.
We got JR on Suicide Watch.
Yeah.
Out here. It's not good.
Listen.
It's a game.
This edition of the Hail Podcast is brought to you by the Suicide Prevention Hotline.
Listen. Buy local from these local businesses. They have believed in us. They still believe in us. And we love our sponsors. So, you know, during all this stuff.
On the bright side, it's basketball season.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Shut up.
But, I love you, Jeff.
Thank you to our sponsors. And now we get on with the show.
Okay.
Okay. Lee, hold on. I got to do this.
No, it's my turn. Now go ahead.
No, okay. All right, I'm J.R. Robinson, Pikeville High School, class of 2010. Over to the left of me is the owner of the Precipice Gardens and now the Honeycomb Hideout, which we are at now.
It is cozy in here.
Feels great. It's not too cold tonight and all that good stuff.
We're going to need a heater probably next week.
Yeah. And also our Hall of Famer, Mr. Douglas Powers, Pikeville High School, class of 1997. And then over to the opposite end of the table from me is my idiot brother, Heath Robinson, Pikeville High School.
You can say it now. It's okay.
Class of 1995. And over here as our producer, he's not going to talk. We duct taped his mouth again. Mr. Corbin Dale Robinson.
We lost Friday night. And it was all your fault. I blame you.
Pikeville High School class of 2022.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So.
The producer.
And now.
You need some shades.
Yeah, Suge Knight.
Even at nighttime, you need to wear sunglasses.
Start calling him Suge Knight.
Yeah. There you go.
Sugar Bear.
Now we do the shout outs. Bub, do you want a shout out here?
My shout out is to absolutely nobody. Nah, man. My shout out is to Pikeville High School. Okay. We hate losing more than we love winning.
That is true.
And, you know, this is, I wondered what it was going to be like, you know, in the back of my mind, us starting the show when we did. What is it going to be like when we have a type of heartbreaking loss like this?
Yeah.
You know, what can we do? You know, what can we do to tell the truth about some things that needed to be told without, you know, bashing anybody or doing anything like that?
No, not at all.
But also to kind of let people know that you know, we're all in it with you here and that we're going to get through this. And
we are an uplifting
and
folk.
Come back the better for it. And, you know, this is family. You know, this whole community is family and we're part of that family. And so, you know, I guess the best thing to do is kind of keep things in proper perspective. You know, there's children starving to death over in Africa right now. You know, there's homeless people that's got nowhere to go. You know, there's people addicted to drugs. There's people starving to death. I mean, it's not,
as problems go,
this
is a good one to have.
Yeah, this is first world problems.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you can't really shake the feeling that you have.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't do it. And you don't really want to be honest with you, during this time of year, if you are those football players.
Yeah.
You want to keep that deep down. And Doug, you and I are 80s babies, man. Yeah. We grew up watching 80s movies. Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Okay. You remember?
It's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. You remember? Remember Matt and Jed when their dad got shot by the Russians?
Yeah.
And Matt was crying.
Yeah.
What Jed told him when he was hugging him.
Yeah.
Let it turn to something else.
Yeah. Let it
turn to something else, Matty.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you have to do here. If you're these players, if you're these coaches, you've just got to get back and stay focused. And when you want to take a break or take a minute, you know, remember how this felt.
Yeah.
Remember this. You know, that's my message to these kids. Remember yeah. this.
It's a good yeah. point, Heath, because really you should let it burn, you know, for a day or two. Definitely, man, it's going to upset people. Yeah. I still think it's a little raw subject right now. We're three days out.
Let me tell you something. If all three of us have went on the air Friday night directly after that ball game,
yeah. wouldn't have been yeah. good.
I think the FCC would have probably yeah. gotten involved.
I mean, I just mean, though, it is good because the one thing you can look forward to is we have a young team.
Yeah.
That cannot be spoken more loudly. We have a young team. And to lose like that, that's going to stick with them for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've even heard Isaac and some of these players come back on. John Collum.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of these guys are like, man, I'll tell you what set up that state championship run was losing to Beechwood by 1 point
That I was going to touch on that tonight. Historically, a heartbreaking loss in the postseason has set up a state championship run the next year.
Some of our greatest moments have been set up by terrible moments.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, well, I hear you.
Doug, you want to do some shout outs?
I'm just glad, really. KHSAA. Hey, boys, we got to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We didn't even think they'd play a playoffs.
Yeah.
And
especially with what West Virginia did this week.
Which is just a shame.
That's a total slap in the face for those of you that don't know,
West Virginia played their state semifinal, right? And so two teams went to the championship. Well, in three of their classes, there were three counties that turned red. And their rules are you can't play, you forfeit. So they basically gave state titles to three class divisions by default. Okay. Yeah. You don't want to win that way.
Ranking system. Yeah.
You don't want to win that way or lose that way.
No.
That's just not playing. No. I mean, I don't know. I would have waited 2 weeks, especially in state championship atmosphere, but that's just me.
Also, last year when we had to cancel the Sweet 16, we didn't announce a state championship winner.
Yeah.
Just stopped. Yeah. You just stopped. I mean, I would rather earn it than give it to me.
Yeah. That's a horrible. Yeah.
I think no matter what, even in Kentucky, there's going to be an asterisk by this year. You had a top 20 team, forfeit this week in Class A.
Bishop Rosser.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of them. Most of them aren't contenders, but still, it's not your typical year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to put an asterisk because it was the same for everybody.
Yeah, it was, but it's
so,
it affects different towns differently, though.
Some towns could be going
through really hard things, like linchpins in their community sick and things to that nature, and others don't. I mean, it's weird, you know. It's an emotional thing, but at the same time,
it's football, man.
It is.
You got to play football in all weather, except lightning. You got to play football in any type of conditions, no matter who's hurt. No matter who's sick, no matter who's going and who's not going, you have to play.
You really want it to be an emotionless game, really.
Yeah.
It's going to be because you've invested too much emotionally into it. You know, we've got a player sitting over here right now, you know, and you just invest too much emotionally into it to not be emotional about it.
Sure. Yeah. But you got to keep it in perspective.
Yeah. And you got to keep your emotions in check, too. But emotion is kind of a theme about Friday night's game.
Yeah, all right. Listen, I'm going to do my shout-outs, and then we'll get into that. Shout-outs every week. First one is to Dustin Boyd for our amazing theme music.
Love you, dude.
Love you, Dustin. Thank you very much. I'm still waiting on if he's going to be making some beats or not. If so, I will give
you...
Does he
need a beat laboratory?
hey, this will be a perfect place for him to do beats. As soon as I hear any information about what he's going to do with that, I'll let you guys know. But thank you very much, Dustin, for our theme music, our amazing logo, and our amazing basketball logo that's getting ready to come out. So thank you very much, Dustin. We love you to death. Also, a big shout-out to Blake and Jessa Branham.
Shut up, Blake.
For always shouting us out on their podcast. I have no idea if they're ever going to come out with any new material. Blake's a busy man. Got a lot of things going on. Plus, it's, you know, COVID and everything else. It's crazy times for everybody. But thank you to you both. You guys have always really, really helped us out by getting our names out there. And we really do appreciate it to both of you.
Sure.
So appreciate it. Also, I want to do this last shout out is to the entire town of Pikeville that roots for the Panthers. I want to say that we are going to have to stick together through the good times and the bad, and I think we're going to do that. We have been over all of these games that we've won or lost. We've always stuck together and believed in these boys, and I think Pikeville's going to continue to do that. So I really do appreciate it if, you know, everybody would just keep, you know, any kind of bad thoughts that they got in their head, keep it to themselves, and let's move on from this and move on and let these boys work their butts off and prove that that this year was a fluke, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and as far as blame goes, and yeah, that's a natural reaction to losing, especially losing and being upset. Yeah,
you don't hear much negative stuff when people are winning.
Yeah.
It's no.
Kind of weird.
And so, but it's a natural reaction to say, well, if so-and-so didn't do something, or, you know, if this person did this or this person didn't do something, then it would, then we'd won the game. You know, you can play the ifs and buts game all you want to.
All day. And,
but when it comes right down to it, you know, everybody, when it comes to blame and it comes to accountability, everybody has to look at the man in the mirror first.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look at that man in the glass and see what he says.
Oh, yeah. And Heath, just to refresh your memory, and one of the things I'm most proud of, actually, you wouldn't believe this, but one of the things I'm most proud of personally and proud of my team when I played was we legit lost a game. Okay, a heartbreaking game to Beachwood. And we had a teammate fumble on the 2-yard line, 3-yard line. And it would have been so easy to go, if he hadn't fumbled, we'd have won. Okay. But in reality, we would have never got there without him. Okay. Yeah. And that was a totally different loss than this one. Okay. There was a lot of things that happened in that game. But I'm just saying, it's one of the things that I think as a town, as a community, as a team, we really come together. We circle the nobody circles the wagons like the Panthers. You know? So
okay. Listen, in case you all missed it and you've been living under a rock somewhere or whatever, our Panthers, the defending Class A state champions, suffered a defeat. 21-12.
That used to be my favorite Rush album. Now I'm not even listening to it anymore.
21-12 over
21-12. I'm not listening to
over that. The Hazard Bulldogs Friday night. It was, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion, the biggest upset probably in the history of our school.
You definitely got to put it right up there with 2014 and maybe more. You know,
actually, they wrote today, and I don't know who. I think it was KSR that it was one of the biggest upsets in Kentucky state history. You know, and you can't. You know, that's just one opinion. Yeah. I personally think that this tends to happen every 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's a normal cycle. You know, if you notice, Pikeville football is kind of cyclical, and this is something that happens. You just have to learn from it.
And I'm just going to say this. You will hear no bashing of any player, any coach, anything on
individual.
This show. If you are wanting to hear that, you need to go look somewhere else. Yeah. We are here to keep it positive. We're here. Yeah, we're just as depressed
as
you
guys. And there's so many bright spots.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good things ahead. You could talk about only good things, really. I mean, we have to review that game, but I'm telling you, Pikeville football's on the rise.
Exactly.
Do we have to review that game?
But I just want to say, if you are wanting to listen to people bash each other, then you need to go listen to another podcast or whatever.
Bluegrass Rivals.
Sorry. Yeah. It's not going to happen here. We're here to keep it positive. I'm down. I'll go ahead and tell you, I am really depressed after this game.
Well, it's like I told Coach Mack when we first started this podcast. We're going to stay positive.
Yeah.
And going to stay classy because there's kids involved.
Yeah.
And because there's, you know, people that we personally really like that are friends of ours involved in this.
Yeah.
But we also have to call them like we see them.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're not going to be, we're homers. I get that. I make no bones about that.
Yeah.
Okay. But at the same time, everybody's going to be biased, but it's just human nature.
Yeah.
The best thing you can hope to be is honest and fair. And I think that's what we've been pretty good at. I think that's why a lot of people like our shows, because we're honest and we're fair.
Before we get to the game recap, I want to point out something that may be positive right here. You said 2014. I just want to refreshify everybody's memory right here. 2014, we lost in the second round to Paintsville. The next year, we turned around and we won a state championship over Beachwood in the state finals with Derek Pugh.
Yeah.
And dominating.
Yes.
2018.
No. I'm going to go back for a little bit.
Yeah.
The very next year, we got upset by Hazard, embarrassed by Hazard in 2016.
Yeah.
The hangover year. They just absolutely came out there and demolished us. The very next year, we went on a team that went 5-5. And went on to the region championship game and was a field goal away from going to play Beachwood in the state finals that year. You know, then in 2018, we
played Beachwood by one in a heartbreaker. In state. Yeah.
But all the other games in the playoffs that we played that year were in dominant fashion for the most part.
Yeah.
And we were really focused, but we had that little bit of chip. It had that little chip on our shoulder after we lost that game. In 2019, we put 8 running clocks on people into the playoffs and went and beat.
And that team was one of the most focused football teams I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay. You could not knock them off course.
No bones about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've personally never seen
Corbin,
that.
Corbin, you were on that team.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say
give
this.
Give us a thumbs up.
I'm going to say this, that history is on our side here.
Yeah.
Okay. History is on our side. It looks good for next year. Next year, we have everybody except for Nate Collins, Alex Rogers, Zach Rowe. Am I missing anybody else?
We lose one or two starters.
Dobby and Hunter Jones.
Dobby and Hunter Jones.
And we're going to miss those things.
Yeah.
And I hate it for them that it ended the way it ended. But, you know, it's just football.
Big shout out to those seniors. You all put your heart in this.
Yeah,
you all played hard. You all worked hard. I mean, we understand that. I mean, Nate Collins had a breakout year last year, and he just built on that this year. He had a heck of a year.
He played well when, you know, but, I mean, he kind of got bit by the injury bug a little bit. But he played very well this year and accounted for himself very nicely.
I think what makes it so hard, really, is expectations. I think so many people had expectations for this team. And, you know, when you're dealing with high school kids, especially a young team, that can be hard.
Hard not to get complacent.
It is. And as somebody on the team, you know, it gets hard.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about guys who were just shooting to start. You know, that's a lot of guys go out there and like, well, my goal is to start this year. Well, but once you are, you've got to set other goals.
Yeah.
You can't just idle.
And
you're never satisfied.
Part of what makes us great, man, here at Pikeville. And, you know, I mean, last Friday night notwithstanding, you know, that's part of what makes us great is because of those expectations.
Yeah.
You know, you are expected as a Pikeville High School football player every time you field a team, every time you run out of that tunnel, you are expected to end a year, not just at a state championship game.
To win it.
Hoisting that trophy. Yeah. Okay. That's the expectations on you. Maybe it's not fair to put that on 15, 16-year-old kids. Maybe it's not. But guess what else ain't fair? Life ain't fair.
Nope.
And it's not even other people. That's how you feel as a player.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily other people going, you have to win. You feel that way when you put that jersey on.
Yeah.
And when we die, if we die as a program, is when people start saying, man, I'd really like to win region this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd really like to win district this year. You don't want that. You have to have those type of expectations.
That's a sad day.
Whether they're fair or not. And I mean, look, it's right in our locker room when you walk in and you look.
Yeah.
What's one of the first things you see? The big sign that says, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yep.
Okay? And that's a fact of life.
Yeah.
Okay? People can say we put too much pressure on these kids. I mean, I don't think it's like at Texas levels, but, you know.
But you want that pressure.
Pressure turns coal into diamonds, brother.
Yeah.
If you're going to want to be at a school that's going to be continually contending for a state championship every year, you want that pressure. Feed off that pressure.
But pressure,
you have to embrace it.
Pressure is tricky. I mean, for players, pressure causes some to break and others to break records. And you got to figure out who those people are. You know, that's
the old saying, separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah,
you know? So, I mean, I'm just saying that Sometimes you fall short in this game of football, guys. Yeah. It happens, dude. It happens to the best of us. It happened to you guys.
Yeah.
It definitely happened to me.
As far as Coach Mack goes,
it happens to most people.
I'm not going to say that I feel sorry for the guy, but I don't envy him at the same time.
Yeah.
Because when you are a football coach at Pikeville High School, and JR, you've seen it during your playing days, people sometimes don't even get off the second step of the rope on that tightrope before they fall. You have got to walk a tightrope all year long.
Yeah.
Okay. You go too far one way, you're going to fall into overconfidence. You go too far another way, you're going to destroy your kids mentally.
Yeah.
And not be able to, they won't have the confidence to go out and do anything. So that is a tight, tight rope that you're walking. You know, it's a razor thin type deal. And that's something that I don't envy Coach Mack in.
I don't
know. He knows what he's doing. I mean, his record speaks for itself. The guy's a legend.
Yeah. Well, and that's
just say what you want to say about it. The guy's a legend.
In football, it's so much harder. Like, I always compare the two because they are very comparable to me. Just because I kind of love both of them, but basketball and football. In basketball, you only got like 12 guys.
Yeah.
So it's easy to feel the pulse of that team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you got like 80, 70 kids out there,
yeah,
it kind of takes, it's a monster of its own, you know? And that's why it's important to have good leadership in the locker room, on the field, you know, that kind of is a continuation of your coach.
Yeah.
And I think he's such a good influence on these kids that's what you typically see. I'm not saying every year, but typically you see that, you know, that just the good values that we instill transfer over to the senior leadership.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and try to paint a picture for you guys that weren't there that want to know what happened.
It's an ugly one.
First drive of the game, we go down and we score. It looked like business as usual.
Yeah.
Probably the most critical point in this game.
Yeah. We go down and score. We hit Brandon Lowe on a huge pass.
Great catch,
Kind of saw it the first part of the game that we wasn't going to really – we were going to have a dogfight running the ball because we kind of struggled a little bit running the ball at the first part of the game. But then after we made that pass, it looked like, you know, okay.
It might open things up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might open things up, and it did for, you know, Hootie to get in the end zone there. After that, we go down and we punt to
Super important part, in my opinion. We score. We take the opening drive 80 yards, right?
Yeah.
Score. Then they get the ball, run two plays, fumble, we recover it.
Yeah.
We put it in then. You're up 14-0 on a team you've beat by 30.
Yeah.
That could have been big.
That could have been huge.
But you know? It didn't happen, and Isaac McNamee threw a interception on the second drive to, I think it was it Max Johnson?
No, I think that was a.
I think that was Tyson Turner.
Yeah, because this guy was playing like he. Well, I don't know. Yeah. He was on Zach.
Yeah.
Because he kind of got dragged into the play, and Isaac was throwing over the middle.
Yeah.
It was a very weird play. If it was a second earlier or later, could have been a huge score. Really, a little later.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it just felt like the timing was off.
When that pick happened. That's when Hazard started to feel like they could stay in the show. Also, we missed an extra point. That was kind of big a little bit. And when Hazard got the ball back, it seemed like every third down that they were put in, they converted. Yeah. I mean, there were balls that were right into our players' hands that were getting took away from them.
Now that's important too, JR, because that when you guys talked about the energy level, it's one of the things when they came out, it didn't feel like a playoff game at Hambly.
Yeah.
No, just by watching. And some of our guys, like we had a couple jump balls.
Yeah.
Like meaning one of our guys
50-50 balls.
Yeah, 50-50 ball where one of our guys goes up, one of their guy goes up, and they both have it. Well, the Hazard guy comes down with it.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of wanting it, you know?
And when I saw that, I was like, all right, this is going to be a dogfight, but hopefully we can escape in advance, right?
Yeah. Survive in advance.
Survive in advance. So we kept going on in the game, and then we get the ball back there towards the last part of the first half, and we go down and we score. And I figured, okay, this is, you know, turning in our favor. It was 12-7 at the half. Mm-hmm. In the second half, Hazard and Braxton Miller, number 15, I think that's his name, went down the field, and it was kind of surgical.
Marched.
Yeah.
Marched.
They do, and to paint that picture a little better, it looked to me like what we do. you know, it looked like they spread us out, okay, and then surgically passed the ball. That kid could throw the ball.
Well,
okay, yeah. And they picked up on something, and I noticed it a few times, but they really utilized it.
Yeah.
When we dropped back in pass coverage, our linebackers were getting way past hook and slant zone.
Yeah. Okay?
And what they were doing is throwing under it, which is weird, really. Usually you teach guys to get behind the linebackers, but I think they saw something or watched a key or something. But usually if you go in front of linebackers, you get blown up if
yeah.
you jump for a ball or catch a pass.
And it seems like our boys were just kind of out of position.
It did. Yeah. It really
did. It put them out of position.
It wasn't one or two things. It was like, you know, you can't – okay, look, you can't drop passes. You can't throw bad balls. You can't – like it was like nine different things added up on offense and defense that kind of led to the outcome. But go ahead, Jaylor.
But – me and Bub were sitting there talking as we're watching the game, and for everybody that wasn't there, we're sitting there as the game's going on in the third quarter and like, did we even get the ball in the third quarter? I mean, you know, not much. Yeah. So they pretty much held the ball on us, and did these little dink and dunk routes. Yeah, Max Johnson got a couple big runs.
You know, we mentioned Sean Thacker on here. You give Coach Howard and Coach Thacker and that whole staff, I have to credit.
Yeah.
Because they developed a game plan. They stuck to it.
And came
in here and executed it to perfection.
It's very hard to lose like they did October 12th.
Yeah.
And come in here on Thanksgiving in the playoffs and even get their kids to play.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. And this is a hard lesson that these kids have to learn, that every person that has ever played at Pikeville in anything has to learn the hard way sometimes. When you are Pikeville, you are everybody's Super Bowl.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Everybody on your calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. It don't matter who it is. You are their Super Bowl. Okay. I'll tell you what I think. And I said this Friday night, got some little bit of confirmation from it today. I really think Hazard went after that last game and did nothing but prepare for us for over a month.
Well, I mean, when you play who they were going to play.
Phelps and Whitley County. Yeah, they did have a game against Bell County, but the game got canceled due to COVID. And then after that Bell County game, they played Phelps again in the first round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And beat them 21-6, I think.
But the first game was 21-6.
Preparing for us and preparing for Phelps is two different things.
Yeah.
However, it's a smart move because listen,
of course it was.
Well,
a smart
I mean,
move.
It is. It's definitely
it's
the
exactly
move
what I would have done if I were them.
Because also, it doesn't matter because look, Paintsville, Raceland, and Pikeville run very similar offenses. Paintsville's a little different, but Raceland and Pikeville about the same. But I'll tell you, it's not a bad move. It paid off, you know. Hey, but
and I'm just gonna say this. I don't know this for fact, so I don't mean to be talking out of school here, but I would not be surprised at all if Chris McNamee didn't do the very same thing back in 2017 when they beat us pretty handily over there at their place, and then 6 weeks later we come back over and beat them at their place for the region title. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that for fact.
Well, and so, there's
I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me.
There's a lot of people in Pikeville that see the Hazard game. When we play Hazard, even more so than Belfry, as one of the most stress-inducing games
we have
all year.
Yeah, because Hazard can send us to the house. Yeah.
I mean, Belfry, it's one of those.
We can lose to Belfry 175-0. We'll still play next week.
A lot of football people really worry about that game. That Hazard Pikeville game because your district rivals. It's like when you play Shelby Valley in basketball five times and then have to play them in a district championship. It's, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You know each other so well.
And it goes to the old adage in sports. It's tough to beat a team two times in a year.
It is.
It's tough to beat a team, especially in basketball. It's tough to beat a team four or five times.
Yeah. In football, it's tough to beat a team twice in a year.
That's why heart is so important in that district stuff. Because a lot of times district games are decided by who wants it the most.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in football and basketball. It's just, look, you know each other so well. You know what both teams are going to do. And it's really a toss-up. It's who wants it. You know?
Who wants it more?
But to move on from the recap of the game, in the fourth quarter, it was kind of like a stalemate between both teams. It stayed. Hazard went down, and they scored on that drive that I think it was the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, to go up 14 to
12. Go up 14 to 12.
Then we get the ball. We're driving down the field, yeah, running the football, and then we get a couple of untimely penalties.
Yeah.
You know,
we were right near the goal line. Yeah. And then we had to, I think we punted it. Did we punt it? No, we went out on four down.
We went for it on fourth and didn't get it.
And then after that, we had another opportunity the last part of the game. We had an opportunity to go down and try to get a score.
3 minutes left.
And Isaac McNamee got a little pressure inside. He rolled out. He took a little time for this play to develop. He was trying to hit an out route to Zach Lockhart, and when he threw the ball, you could just see it happening in slow motion.
Oh, yeah. Max Johnson jumped that route from the start. And
yeah,
he's an excellent corner. I think he's one of the keys to victory for them.
Yeah.
But also, you know, and this is the thing. As a quarterback, and he knows this, you know, Isaac's been taught that throwing late to the flats, extremely dangerous. Now, granted, it's your best receiver. There's 2 minutes left. Sometimes you do got to force things a little, okay? But that one just, you know, and he broke way. He was 8 yards away.
Yeah.
But he had that. It's almost like he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Well, that comes to 6 weeks of preparation.
Yeah.
They probably watched ad nauseum him make that throw all year.
Yeah.
And you never throw.
To kind of know when it's coming.
Yeah. You never. Here's the rules. You never throw late to the flats. You never play cards with a guy named after a state. And you never date a girl named after a high-end sports car. Those are the three rules.
Yeah, right, and you also never date a girl with a tattoo of a dagger on her face.
There you go.
But anyway.
A little teen wolf for you.
Yeah, a little laughter. We need that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to say this. After this game, you could put the blame on so many different people
in
this game.
We're using the wrong word, blame.
It
was just a bad game.
It was an all systems failure.
Yeah.
Okay. And the coaches didn't have the best night. I think the first person that would tell you that would be every one of them to a person, knowing them like I do. So I'm not saying anything that anybody don't already know. You know, just being honest, you know. It wasn't a great night. It wasn't our best night. I still think they're great coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think they're great people.
Yeah.
I still think top to bottom, they're the best coaching staff in the state. But they're also human. Okay? And we got to remember that.
Perfect example of how football can just, on any given night, you can go down, is the 2007 New England Patriots.
Yeah.
18-0.
Playing a 9-7 team.
Playing a 9-7 team that barely made the playoffs in the Super Bowl that they had already beat in the regular season.
Yeah, the Giants that year had to get like two or three other teams to win or lose just for them to get in.
Yeah.
As a wild card.
And that's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who a lot of people consider the best of all time.
Yeah.
And they ended up coming up short with Randy Moss and all those other dudes in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
it's a sport. It's a game. That's what you've got to keep in your head. It's a game that teaches young men how to be better men.
Yeah.
And that's great.
But
you know, and another thing, it's like, you know, it keeps coming back to me. And it just felt like Hazard came in there, and this is a good lesson. They came in there ready to play playoff football. They did. They hit harder. They were more physical. Okay. They had more energy. You know, in playoffs, you expect it to step up a level, okay? And it felt like, and I felt like our younger guys, and this is important for you guys that are going to be freshmen or sophomores. When you're on the sidelines, you're not playing, you really need to keep your ears open and your mouth shut, because here's the thing. You learn this from your seniors and your juniors that are playing, because you have to know how to approach a playoff game as a player, and your coaches can't put a uniform on and play for you, you
right.
know?
We were discussing this before we came on the air. I'm a big firm believer in body language. I'm a big firm believer in body language. Okay. In anything, your body language is going to tell a person much more of the truth than what anybody's lips is willing to tell ever.
To prove your point,
100%.
Look at Paintsville last year in the state championship game. Yeah. Came out and just, they looked like they was going through the motions.
Yeah. Yeah. We beat them by, or they just beat us by one at their place. We got them this time. Didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just did not see, and dude, it wasn't just the players. Okay. I even had a former Panther, you know, who's been to a state title, was on a team that went state, tell me and JR that that was kind of the most down he'd ever seen a Pikeville crowd in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was a little
We're a little bit spoiled.
Yeah.
To say the least.
It, you know, to put it kind of bluntly. And of course we are. I've said that all year. You know, I say that all the time, and it's the truth. You know, it's not trying to hurt anybody.
No, it's a good problem to have.
You know, it's not a slag on anybody. It's just, you know, it's not a slag on this community. It's just that we're sport rotten, you know, and we are. But with that being said, it was just, man, it was just such a lack of energy. And that's not blaming anybody. That's not pulling fingers at anybody. It's just saying, you know, it's just what it was.
And, you know,
everybody saw it.
I can't help but think that, now you're going to say everybody has to play, it's COVID, but I still think that this whole situation affects people differently. And it's like, I don't know if the not being in school, you know, that's another thing. Like, they're not going to school. It's Thanksgiving break.
I get what you're saying, Doug, but let me offer you a counterpoint. Look at the team we played Friday night. Okay? Yeah. Look how much problems they have with COVID.
Yeah.
You know, they got pretty much their entire summer practice.
Yeah, they shut down for a month.
Yeah,
just about.
They had to.
Yeah.
They got pretty much their entire summer practice taken away from them.
This is also a team that started out the year 0-5.
They started out the year 0-5. They have, in the last calendar year.
Does anybody know how many seniors they have?
I don't think they have many. Yeah, they're a very young football team.
But back to what I was saying was, you know, yeah, COVID has affected everybody.
Yeah,
dude. It really has. But at the same time, we had nowhere near the COVID problem, the COVID related problems that Hazard had to start the year. Okay. And it goes back to an old thing that I've always heard and that I believe. Prosperity is a poor instructor.
Victory makes you weak.
Victory has defeated you, Batman, like Bane said, you know, yeah. The Dark Knight Rises. Prosperity is a poor instructor. Adversity is the best instructor.
Yeah.
Okay. And we haven't really had to overcome any adversity to speak of in a little while. It's since 2018.
And I can tell you personally, Heath, that I haven't learned much of the times I won.
Yeah.
You know, just on teams I was on and personally. But when things got bad or bad things happened, I learned a lot.
Yeah, I can't tell you exactly what happened when we beat Phelps 50-0 my senior year, but I can tell you everything that happened after the Beechwood game my senior year.
There you go.
Sticks out in your head, man.
But all I'm saying is that you had a team whose backs was against the wall that came over here versus a team who I'm not going to say was still celebrating last year, but just thought that it was a given. You know, and this is a teenage boy's mindset. This is not trying to slag anybody.
Well, it's not even just a teenage boy's mindset. There's a lot of people that
there's
thought
a lot
that
of
was
adults
a given
that thought that way too.
That game was
there
won
was a lot of people
started.
In this community. And let me tell you something, brother.
I'll tell you, I wasn't even really worried at halftime.
Yeah,
I was like, well, we're in good shape.
You go back to the body language thing. Even in the third quarter, you could see the look on these kids' eyes. You know, you could see the way these kids were on the field and how they were playing, the two teams. But especially us. You know, they're sitting there kind of looking around going, you know, when's Hazard going to lay down?
Yeah.
You know, they should have laid down by now. Why haven't they laid down yet? You know, what's going on here?
Because it's the playoffs.
Then the fourth quarter, Hazard takes the lead in the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, we're like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
We were not ready for this.
They certainly snuck up on us a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit that.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, you could see it. I mean, plain as day. And that's not anything on any coaches or any kids, any parents, anybody in the community, anybody in high school, whatever.
And also, with the offense we play, It's something that I noticed because I watched this game twice, okay, on Huddle. You know, it's just that little, it's little things. It's like I saw normally, like last time, we ate that team up with screens, right? They were ready for it. But also this time, you know, our guys, wide receivers and the guys that get out there on the screen, they didn't stay on blocks a little long enough. You know, it's just one second, one split second.
Right.
Longer. And, you know, it just, they were making plays.
Those little things build up.
5 yards. You know, they were making plays in the backfield that they normally don't make until we've gained 5 yards or 10 yards.
Right.
So it just, and then that's just one thing. Right. I mean, it goes to all positions, really. It just, yeah, I think that's one of those things, like you say, kind of an all systems failure.
I'm going to say this. And when I say this, I am in no way disrespecting anybody. I'll say that all night long. I'm trying not to disrespect anybody. But this is just my opinion, and I'm going to call it like I see it. When we, at the first part of the year, we went up to Raceland. Hadn't won there since 1964. That's a good football team over there at Raceland. Yeah. Just took Paintsville, a good football team, to overtime last night, and they could have went either way. You know, that's a good football team. They got a good quarterback.
And some friends sent me pictures of that game.
Yeah.
Pikeville people, if it happened here, you'd be up in arms. A kid caught a touchdown, and it looks legit. They have pictures of it, and it looks like he fumbled it at the one.
Really?
It's bad. Yeah,
yeah, you sent it to me last night.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, so unless he trapped the ball, the picture you sent me, unless he trapped the ball,
it hit the ground.
Yeah, it hit the ground.
Okay. It was bad.
I'd have to see it on video to see what.
I've had some crazy stuff happen in football just like that. So yeah, I would be a little upset too. But anyway, we went over there and beat them at their place handily in our first game of the year. We had brand new receivers. It looked like we just had to get some stuff rolling,
polished.
But yeah, our defense at that point in time looked great. Okay, in that game. I think the only score that they had was a long ball, and it was towards the end of the game. Then we go and play Belfry, and that's always a measuring stick for us every single year.
Yeah.
Okay, we go play Belfry, and we beat Belfry for the second year in a row. And that's when you start thinking, all right, we're good. We can get better, but we're good. This is a huge game for us, and we won it. We got it done. Mm-hmm. Okay, the third game against Henry Clay. We go up on that team 16-7, I think it was, something like that. And then something happened that a young team really is going to have a hard time dealing with. Their best defensive player went down.
And arguably the best player on the field.
Arguably the best defensive player in the state.
Yeah.
Carson Wright goes down.
Done for the year.
I'm not sitting there saying that. Because me and we've had this discussion. Even without Carson, we're still state championship worthy.
Yeah.
I mean, we
definitely.
Yeah.
One guy. You got to have that next man up mentality.
You got to have the next man up. I mean, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Devin Bush goes down and Robert Spillane goes in there right now and they're still 10 and up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's got to be that type of mentality where you've got to
be. Please don't let me down Tuesday night, Steelers. I can't take it.
So, anyway, I'm just saying after he went out, it looked like. The passion and everything, just to me, kind of went down a little bit.
It dropped a notch.
It dropped.
And it's going to.
When you're that important and you see how hard that kid has worked, how much time that kid's put in, and you're leaning on that kid to be a stud, and then that player's gone for the year, and now the coaching staff are kind of, you know, like, okay, who are we going to put in his place? What are we going to do? How are we going to scheme around
him? Well, you remember I said after we found out he was lost for the year.
Yeah.
You don't replace a Carson Wright.
No.
You have to
schematically.
You have to scheme around Carson Wright not being there.
Yeah. And
but still.
It's just one guy.
Person.
I know.
And as a team, you cannot let that just decimate you.
But, Doug, I got to ask you this question, though, to counter that. What would have happened if Brent Coleman would have went down for the year when you all played?
Running back's a little different, but I mean, it would affect.
We had John Hathaway.
It would have affected us, but not
affected us.
I know. I know.
Just death, like what you're explaining. And I get what you're saying because there was that game.
Yeah.
I definitely saw it. And at Henry Clay at halftime, it was just like.
You could see the air get sucked out of us.
It was.
And we didn't really wake up and respond until that muff punt
call. Yeah. After three or four or five games, you. you know,
you got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's over with.
Yeah, and
you got to get past it.
I'm not saying that that is the whole reason why we lost. I'm not saying
it's definitely a speed bump for sure.
Yeah, but when you lose a player like that, and a player that these kids are all counting on to be that stud to open them up to make more plays, right? That kind of takes a toll on you a little bit, especially when you're trying to figure it out on the fly.
Well, you do have a point about this, and we've kind of touched on it. We didn't have a large senior class.
Yeah.
So sometimes.
And that's not a slight on any of the seniors at all. It's just there's not enough of them.
But then you have a player that's a little younger that whose brother was an excellent leader.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who maybe do look at him as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, and very well probably was. You have to be out there to know. I can't claim that. I wasn't out there in practice. I don't know. But I'm just saying I can see that really affecting some of our young guys for sure.
And it just trickled down, and then you saw it against Campbell County because that was fresh. Right after we played Henry Clay, we played Campbell County, and you saw that he was missed against LCA. Well, then we preached it all year. We got to get our outside contain right. With Carson Wright in there, outside contain was not that big of a problem.
No, I mean,
you hold Isaac Dixon under 100 yards, and that's one of the best outside runners in football right now in Kentucky. Yeah. And then when he goes out, now we've got a problem on outside contain.
Well, and you just mentioned Campbell County.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons last week that I worried a little bit about this game, because you saw that this team is capable of that.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were capable of it in the playoffs, but again, they're young.
I thought they were able to put it behind them.
They're young. So that worried me. That they had the potential.
Now, if you want to blame COVID on anything, you know, and I'm not much about making excuses.
No,
I'm not either.
But if you want to blame COVID on anything, you know, you look at how Mike coached teams do over the course of the season.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the first five games are murderer's row.
Yeah.
You know, you play the first, and this season would have been no different.
Yeah.
You know, Bardstown at Bardstown. LCA in the Pike County Bowl.
Paintsville
at home. Yeah. You know, then you play somebody, I can't remember who it was, and then you got Belfry fifth game of the year. Raceland.
Lawrence
at Raceland,
County.
Fourth game.
Yeah.
And then Belfry, Belfry at home, fifth game of the year. Now, it goes back to when you and I played, Doug. We didn't learn as much against Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
As we did against Belfry.
Sure, yeah.
You will learn more about your football team, and you will become a better football team by playing tougher competition.
Yeah.
And a lot of that by no fault of our own, by no fault of anybody's.
Yeah.
Three of those games got taken away from us this year. How much more could Coach Mack and the rest of that staff have learned with those extra three games?
And that's a good point. And another thing, you had a really young team.
This is not making excuses.
No, it's not at all. But it does set the stage. Like,
yeah,
you have a young team, right? And you don't get a full season to like, hey, let's throw a few guys in there.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. You know, for competition at different positions and things like that.
That's three full games.
You have to. Your first four or five games are just hanging on. You know, like, let's just win this game.
Teaching point games. Yeah. And, you know.
And win or lose, I mean, I was listening to somebody. I can't remember who it was. Basically, the way the playoffs or the high school football system is set up in this state, I think the regular season's just about as close to meaningless as you can get as far as wins
really
and losses.
It really is.
As far as wins and losses.
Because you're going to the playoffs. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. As far as wins and losses go, it's about as close to meaningless as you can get.
Now, well, you obviously saw that. Hazard lost to everyone.
Yeah.
Except Phelps in the district. We went 0-5 to start the year. And
finished runner-up in the district.
Regional championship.
Yeah.
There you go.
And – all right, so as I said at the beginning, you could make 1,000,005 excuses.
Yeah.
But I just want to say this. Hazard showed up and beat our butt. I'm not making excuses.
No.
We were still, in my opinion, the class of Class A.
Could we have played better?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We were still the class of Class A. I still think that there wasn't a team in Class A that could hang with us at the time.
The weird part
if we came out to play.
As bad. As we came out to play, we still could have won that game.
Yeah, we were still in that ball game.
That
was
3 minutes left.
We had the ball.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, you know, we always tell these guys, And I always tell people this because sometimes great teams, even like last year, I expected it to happen, but it didn't. Even good teams, man, you're going to have one game, especially like in basketball in the Sweet 16. You're going to have a game where you don't play well.
Yeah.
But you still have to manage to pull out a win.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we almost did it. You know, it just – it didn't work out for us. Yeah, it was a full moon. I don't know.
Hazard, I don't get it. Hazard came over there to our place, and they took it from us. Okay. We didn't get – we had a help, you know, kind of helped them in taking it, you know. But I'm not going to say that we give it to them. They took it from us.
Yeah.
They took what they wanted to take, and they beat us. That's just what happens in football.
And the second round, dude, the second round is – it's the most dangerous round in the playoffs.
It always has been, and I've said this a million times. Even when the playoffs were a different way when we played, the second round was always our toughest game.
Yeah, because you're fired up because you won a playoff game.
Yes.
Then, you know, you make it to the second round where you're like, man, if we win this game, we go to region. So you're looking ahead to region a little bit.
Yeah. You're looking ahead to region, and you're playing a team that has proven they can win a playoff game.
I think, to be honest with you, us as a whole, we're not just looking towards region. We were looking at Lexington already.
Yeah.
And well, I think a lot of people were. I think the whole state was.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's not me slagging on anybody. No. It's just saying.
And it happens. And also, to put that in perspective, Murray, okay? Murray,
Murray
beat Mayfield for the first time in 8,050 days.
Yeah, 30 years is what they said.
I mean, think about that.
And, you know, you've got that stuff that happens, and it happened to us.
Historically, you look at our program, okay? Doug, when I was a senior, you were a sophomore. Mm-hmm. We had to score late to beat Averts.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
this is hilarious. I think of Sam Wright out there.
Yeah,
for real. My freshman year, we played. It was our wide receiver last year. His dad from Cumberland, and we played them in the mud at Hambly.
Tinsley.
Yeah, Charlie Tinsley.
We played them.
Big friend of the show. What's up, Charlie?
Telling you. It was 3 inches of mud at Hambly. It was awful. I was a freshman, okay, and I held the kicks.
Yeah.
All right, backup quarterback, held the kicks, played a little tight end. So Coach Howard, and I'm maybe a 160. I'm 6'5". You know, it wasn't good. We call a fake extra point to win the game with 4 seconds left. It was not pleasant to throw. There was 8 inches of mud caked on the ball. And it just worked out that Steven Kreitzer caught a pass. But I'm telling you.
That was 92. I remember that.
It was bad. It was
J.I. Joplin had to score a 3-point conversion to go
in.
I'm sure Charlie can tell us all about that because he did me. He's like, man, y'all broke my heart over here.
Listen, I was a part of a team that was the first ever Pikeville High School football team to lose to Harlan. Okay?
Yeah, J.R. It happened to J.R. twice in the second
round. Yeah. In the
freshman year, we were the number one defense in the state all classes. It was the same thing. Everybody thought we were going to state.
And we had just beat Hazard 43-8 or whatever.
We talked about it Thursday night on the pregame show.
Yeah.
Beat them 42-14 just 3 weeks prior. And, you know, they came in there and beat us in the second round, 2014.
Kicked a late field goal to beat us 15-14.
Yeah.
And then it happened to me my senior year, even though we wasn't as good. We had beat Allen Central pretty handily, who Harlan had lost to. And we thought, okay, we're going to beat Harlan. We're just going to go on there, and then we got to move on to Hazard and pull off the upset because Hazard was unbelievable at that point in time.
Were on their run.
Yeah.
And we could not stop Harlan's rushing attack all night, and their big defensive end was just causing problems in our run game the whole night, and we just couldn't get over the hump.
Well, I think that that's kind of what happened against Hazard here, is that second half you saw on defense. And, you know, a lot of times I only will look at offense and mention things on offense because I wasn't much of a defensive player. I always played offense. But and that's for real, guys. Sometimes I'm a little too hard on people. But, you know, that's the thing. Hazard did a lot of different things in that second half.
Yeah.
You know, they shifted. Yeah. They were crashing ends on one play. And then run blitzing the next play. And it was real. And you know, at first, and I think I said this to you, that we had a hard time finding an offensive identity.
Yeah.
But really, it was them.
And I said that to JR midway through the first quarter.
If we need to make up our mind
what we're going
to do. Well, if you're up on the press box, though, and you're watching, you have to use what you're seeing.
Yeah.
You know? But when somebody changes it up that much and you're only up, it's a close game.
Yeah.
The problem was we didn't get out on them at first.
Yeah.
If we could have just got out on them, you know, and got our foot on their throat, that was the problem, I think.
Well, getting out on them, yeah. But, I mean, you know, Hazard had a little bit to say about that.
They did.
Yeah.
And,
you know, you also have to learn how to win tough, close football games.
You did.
Another thing.
And even teams that you don't think are on your level.
Yeah.
You know, when they're hanging around with you, you've got to figure out how to finish them off.
Well, and think about what these young guys saw last year. They didn't even see a close game. I mean, they saw Belfry, but like in the playoffs, they didn't even see it.
Well, they did
game.
With Hazard because it was 14-6. We were up 14-6 at halftime. Well, yeah, that's a perfect example between a senior heavy team and a sophomore heavy team. Last year, we were up 14-6 at halftime.
And then it's a running clock.
And at halftime, we come out and we just smoke them, and it's a running clock. This year, we're up 12-7 on Hazard at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
We come out, and it's, like I said, Hazard wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
And I still think it comes down to execution because there's so many things we did not execute as players.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't just one guy or two guys. It was just execution, period.
It reminds me of my favorite quote. One of my favorite quotes. John McKay, who was the coach of the legendary coach at SC, and then he in the 70s, and then he went on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they started in the late 70s. Yeah, it was the year I was born, it's 76. And they went, they lost their first like 18 games, I think it was, before they won one.
During Sounds that like time, my Little League team.
Yeah, it does.
All Shout
of our,
out.
All of our Little League team.
But they know how to tackle now.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I hope so. They asked him after one of his losses, said, what did you think about your team's execution? And he said, I'm all for it.
Guys, all right.
Don't take that literal, guys. I'm just making a joke.
So I think we did a pretty good job covering this, what it was. It was just it. I mean, whatever. Yeah, I mean,
you always have to take something, though.
Yeah.
Winners, here's what winners do. Winners will take that game, all right, and be mad. Be mad for 3-4 days. All right, that's fine. Be
Get angry, throw crap. I have.
Then watch that film and go, I'm never making that mistake ever again.
No.
As a player.
Sports is a learning experience.
It should be, listen, all those guys have huddle. This game should be the number one watched game ever on that team.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, just watch it so that we don't make the same mistake again. That's it.
I'm going to say this to end this. Hazard comes back with a lot of people next year. A lot.
They're going to be better.
Paintsville still has their running back, Mr. Phelps. He's coming back. He'll be a junior next year. You can get beat, ladies and gentlemen. We just learned that last night.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, you can't just show up and expect for them to etch your name on the trophy. You got to earn it. Every play, you got to earn it.
Especially
in the playoffs.
There are other teams out there that have players, too, that can hurt you. It's not just the players on Pikeville's team. There are other players from Paintsville, from Hazard, from, Newport Central Catholic that can hurt you. And we learned that last night.
And you have to give them a hats off to them because Hazard has three guys that are really good athletes, okay?
Yeah.
Their quarterback's good. That Max is good.
Yeah.
And that's seven. Okay.
Andrew Ford, in my opinion, is the most underrated reason why they won last night. Well, that kid played tremendously.
Dude, on third down,
he was good.
I hate to make this joke, but they kept playing the stupid money song up there on third down for us. He was the one that was money.
Yeah.
We also got to talk about the music during these games.
Yeah, we do.
It's becoming a problem.
And I'm getting ready to climb up on my soapbox and make a bunch of people mad.
Okay. Also, during that game, here's what I thought mattered. It wasn't their three or four great players. It was the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
Those linemen played physical.
Yes, they did.
I have it. Hey, listen, that looked like we were playing. I see hits like that against Belfry.
Yeah.
I put it on Bluegrass Rivals. People can go read it. I'm Hell Pike one there. I don't make any bones about that. Unlike you, Jet Pilot. but
We have a theory that Doug is jet pilot.
Oh, listen, yeah, that reminds me. I got to make
just kidding.
I got to make a big announcement here. I've uncovered the truth about who jet pilot is.
I know who it is, but I'm not going to say it.
It's Corbin.
Only hand signals, Corbin.
Corbin's jet pilot.
Even before Corbin was born, he was writing on the Bluegrass Rivals boards before.
No, seriously. Shoot, what did I say? What was I going to say?
I'm talking about Bluegrass Rivals for some
reason. I put it on Bluegrass Rivals. Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, you just can't show up and expect somebody to lay down for you.
And you were talking about the music.
That's earned.
And the music. And, dude, I want to choose my words carefully here, because I really don't want to take anybody off. That's freaking embarrassing.
What is?
Playing that stupid music and doing all that crap. It's just embarrassing.
I'd rather have an air horn.
That's like not who we are, man.
Yeah.
That's just not who we are. You know, it's never been who we are.
Maybe they did it because...
Back it up on, and let me tell you something. Football is a results-driven business. Because I guarantee you there's a bunch of people out there saying right now, well, if it worked, you'd been all for it.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Football is a results-driven business, and if it doesn't garner results, you might want to try something else.
When you lose, you get a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks. I had like eight people
stop
me today.
Well, this ain't got to do with anything on the field.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm not going to sit there. I mean, did the coaches do some things that I disagreed with the other night? Yeah.
But we're not the coaches.
On a game-by-game basis that I disagree with? Yeah, they do. But they know more than I do, and I trust them. Okay, so I'm going to leave that to them.
Yeah, you won't find a harder working staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, dude, I've sung their praises on here, and you know, all I'm going to say is this. You know, so that was stuff that was on field. I'm talking about what was off the field. To me, it's just, and you could see it firing the other team up, man. You could see it. Doug, tell me you couldn't see it. JR, tell me you couldn't see it.
Corbin, it's almost like you need somebody that understands what not to do when they have the ball. Or fourth and short for us. You know, there's certain things you do in games that you might not necessarily want to do sometimes. But also, those people work hard in there. It's hard.
I'm not throwing off on anybody because I'd say chances are, you know, there was somebody that probably told them to play that song or something. Yeah. I don't know who it was, but, you know, to me, I just don't. That's not who we are.
Well, listen.
You're saying use your home field advantage better.
Use your home field advantage as an advantage, not giving it an advantage to another team. Because that's exactly what it did. You saw their fans up screaming, going crazy, you know. And what was our kids doing? They were dancing around on the field.
Oh, it's minutia.
I know, but it's just, I know you got to try to get people fired up and all that stuff. And people play, you know, AC/DC or you know, the bells you know, for whom the bell tolls or whatever, you know, and stuff like that. I get that. But, you know, when you're playing some goofy hip hop song out there and, you know, the kids are dancing and everything else on third down when you're trying to get out there and stop somebody, man, that's just
couple points.
I don't like it. Okay?
Couple points.
And they can do what they want to.
That is what Mark Wheeler would say.
Couple points.
Well, I got it from him.
For a couple points here. One, we are in a new age. I don't think there's a lot of kids out there who know who AC/DC is or Metallica.
I think you're crazy.
Dude, I'm just saying. You ask Isaac Mike me.
Dude, it's not got anything to do with the music choice. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to do
it. It's the timing of when it plays.
Hold on. I'm just making
and
that
even
point.
The refs yelled at us the other night because the music was too loud and they couldn't hear.
Oh, okay.
And they made them stop.
Do the refs ever yell at Raceland when they're blowing the horn during the snap?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm
odd that that happened.
We can't control that, but stick to what we can.
Okay.
And I'm not a fan of it.
I know you're not, and I completely understand it, but there are kids out there that would rather get pumped up and ready to play with Lil Baby than they would AC/DC.
Like I said, it's not about music choice.
I know.
He's saying on like fourth and one, you don't want to fire the other team up.
I know.
Because it was counterproductive is all I'm saying. Okay. And I mean, it was out there for everybody to see.
I'm just letting our viewers know, that don't know that Bub is a big fan of rock music. He grew up in the 90s.
It's got nothing to do with rock and hip hop. Or I don't care if it was Beethoven.
We should have been up 21 points anyway. So it doesn't.
And then here's the second point. Okay. When you're in a COVID-filled year and there's not a whole lot of fans there, maybe they played that song to create some noise on third down to try to create some noise. Because, dude, when we even said it, this was the quietest game we'd ever been to at the first part of that game.
That's what I said.
It wasn't your typical.
Everybody showed up expecting us to kill them.
Well, and it's not everybody showed up. That did not look – it's COVID.
Yeah.
We didn't sell tickets at the gate. Yeah. It wasn't a playoff atmosphere. That kind of hurt.
You also go back and look. Hazard had 15 people in the stands. They were making more noise than we were.
Yeah.
A lot of that had to do with the game and how the game was going. But, I mean, our fans cried.
Another thing. One thing that Hazard did. You know why our fans go crazy? They are a little bit spoiled on the big play. You know, big plays.
Yeah.
Name a big play on offense that we had.
The big pass to Bilo. Well, that's about it.
And that wasn't even a touchdown.
Yeah.
It just, they took away our big plays.
Yeah.
And got turnovers. See, that sounds like how you beat Belfry.
Yeah.
That's what I remember talking to our defensive coordinator last year. I was like, man, if you can get two turnovers, take away the big plays, we can win.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Well, the third point that I was going to make is this. And I'm going to your point because I agree with you on this point. If you're going to play some goofy music on third down and the whole team's behind it and it makes them better by playing that music, gets them more fired up and you see results from it, like you said, it's a result.
It's a results-driven business.
And they're making plays because of it, then play the song.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go out there and on third down and not produce a stop on third down whenever they play that song.
Okay, here's my thing.
I actually don't know what Hazard's third down percentage was the other night, but I guarantee it was a lot. It's got to be probably saved.
One of the things I have a problem with is what you're saying. Dancing and stuff. Listen, when I played, I didn't even notice what was going on out here.
Yeah.
I was focused on this and this alone.
Yeah.
There was no dance. I mean, like, man, maybe that's. That can be attributable if you're like people
and
are.
And do not misunderstand me. I'm not blaming what happened Friday night.
No, not at all.
It's just, okay, I'm not. You know, that had nothing to do really with why we lost a football game. But I just don't think it's a good look. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. Sue me.
Okay, I mean, and I completely understand that too. I didn't necessarily like it, but different teams have different things.
We have spent too much time on music.
Well, okay. What I'm saying is this, though. You know, no, if they were playing AC/DC Hell's Bells out there, you know, with the whole song like that, I would be upset about that, too. If you want to just start with the bells or you want to just start with something like that, like other places do, that's fine.
But, and Paintsville does that, too, and it gets on our nerves just the same.
Well, but, so. I mean, you know, but it just had adverse effects.
Yeah, and so now
– money went broke.
So
money got turned over to collection.
I'm just going
sorry,
enough with the negativity. Enough with it. Let's
move on.
I'm not
being negative, man.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying we lost. That's a negative thing. You know what I'm saying? We have to discuss why we lost and stuff. So
it sucks. I'm going back to bed.
But anyway,
you won't see him
now
until June.
No. We're keeping him up, Doug. It's basketball time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I hate you people.
I can't wait to hear your takes on basketball.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Bub actually knows a lot more about basketball than what you think.
Well, just the comic relief will be good.
Oh, and
for real.
Listen, he's a big rebounder guy, okay? Let me tell you something about rebounding. If you ain't rebounding, he will let you know you ain't rebounding worth a crap. I'll go ahead and tell you that.
Hey, I want to throw this out.
Where did we get that from?
Our dad. That's all Dad did. He was like Charles Barkley. He was like Andre Drummond out there. All he did was rebound and get garbage buckets and all
garbage
that stuff.
Garbage baskets. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I want to throw this out there, and we've mentioned it, we've discussed it, but I kind of want to throw it to the people. You know, now that our team is done, the podcast is in a weird spot. We're going to do basketball.
Yeah.
But basketball can't start till January 1st, right?
Yeah.
So these next 2 or 3 weeks, there's Class A. There's the whole state is playing some, you know, we're down to 8 teams, right?
Yeah.
So if you would like us to just, you know, throw out scores, do a podcast for 30, 40 minutes every Sunday to recap what happened during the week, shoot us a message, you know, just, you know, we're kind of up in the air on what to do these next 3 or 4 weeks.
And yeah, I'll listen to what people have to say, but as far as I'm concerned, high school football season's over.
But anyway, also, we're going to try to get some more some guests on here if they're not, you know, depressed to the point where they
give them a week.
Yeah,
you know?
But
give people a minute.
Enough of that. Let's talk about the positive, the future.
The future's so bright we got to wear shades, man.
Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you something right now. If you think Pikeville is done and they're out of it for good and that this loss
was just crazy, this was the investment year.
Let me tell you something. With or without, God, I hope he's back next year and he plays. With or without Carson Wright, this team is going to be dangerous next season. Next season could be an absolute monster year for the Pikeville Panthers.
And Hazard.
Yeah. Well,
all eyes are going to be on Daniel Field for that rematch.
Oh, it's going to be next year. Yeah,
you know that Troy Howell, if you're listening, that better be KSR's game.
I'll tell you what. Also, in the playoffs, I mean, that's obvious. That'll be on the radar next year. And I know those boys. I'm telling you, you're going to see some dogs.
And also, another thing is that you've had a year of just. I mean, hopefully, we're on the back burner of this thing, you know, with COVID.
Yeah.
But if we haven't got to where we want to be by next year. These boys know now, they've had a season of it, of how to deal with COVID.
Well, JR, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's kind of my business in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And I do have some news on that, and it's not secrets or anything, but I keep up with that. And one of the things I'm hearing is you're going to be able, the general public will have this vaccine at the end of the first quarter and into the second quarter. So you're talking about March-ish, February, March, April, the general public should have it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the hard part about vaccines, it's not making them. It's making billions of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to be patient. But I think by next summer, we'll be just fine.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just saying if.
And I'll be. And just for those people that a lot of people question it, you're hearing a lot of crazy stuff like the government's tracking us. And man, listen. I'm going to be guy number one taking that shot. Just, you know, when they let me.
Doug says that
for real.
A helicopter flying.
I know, right? But no, I mean, evidently we're obviously going to get it to first liners, you know, doctors, nurses, and people like patients that are really at risk.
Yeah.
65 and over, nursing homes, things like that.
Right.
But then the general public's going to get it, and there's phases. I've actually made some calls on this. So, I feel good about it.
I do too.
I feel good for next football season.
I mean, you're starting to kind of see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, but the thing that I would say it is, even if the worst case scenario happens, these boys know how to deal with it better.
Yeah.
Now, they're more versus last year. The public in general knows how to deal with it. You know, we came into
this season, we had no idea that we was even going to get to play.
These boys took 3 weeks off at one point. I mean, they had breaks. They'd play a game or two and have a break and play a game or two and have a break.
Also, you know, a lot of kids during, you know, the off season, I know one of them is sitting right over here, was on track to make big strides as far as strength goes, and then, bam, snapping the fingers, that kind of stopped with COVID, you know. Yeah. And a lot of kids couldn't get weightlifting or anything like that to help them out. Coaches couldn't have in-person stuff with them. So, I mean, now you kind of know what you have to do.
And that'll help with our development for next year.
Yeah. But back to our team. Listen.
But if you want to end it on a positive note, just let me say this. Another one of my favorite things that I've ever heard was the old commercial that came out when Doug and I were in high school or college of Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercial starts out. I've heard Nick Saban quote this commercial. The commercial starts out with Jordan saying that he has missed so many thousand shots in his career. That he has missed, you know, so many game-winning shots in his career. That he's, you know, gave up, you know, big baskets on people he was guarding so many times during his career.
Yeah.
And had it down to the number, you know. I can't remember the exact number of it, but I mean, it was up in the thousands. And at the end of it, Michael Jordan said, "I have failed, and that is why I succeed."
Yeah.
Okay. And that's food for thought for these kids, for these coaches. You know, we failed Friday night.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. We failed. Okay. And you just got to embrace that and learn to live with it.
Yeah.
And it was an all system failure, as I said. You know, we failed Friday night. But that's why we're going to succeed. Okay. And you look, now I want you to envision this in your mind for just a second. Okay. Think about this team next year. Think about all that talent that's coming back. Think about all the kids that are standing on the sidelines this year that are probably going to get to play next year. I think I'm looking at one of them.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope I am. That's up to him. Now, you imagine that team and how good they are, and imagine those boys ticked off.
Yeah, this stuff helps. Yeah. Definitely.
Imagine those boys ticked off with a chip on their shoulder.
It's the one thing we didn't have this year. We think we're better than, you know. And when you start having that, it's a whole different story.
You know, football's all about life lessons, guys.
It is.
I mean, you've learned, you've said it, I've said it, JR said it. I don't think anybody who's ever played at any level of football in their life can say this. There is not hardly a day goes by, probably not a day, that I don't have a life lesson that was taught to me by playing high school football.
Definitely.
I wasn't a star. I wasn't an all-stater. I wasn't a Hall of Famer. Like Eaton over here. And I'm proud of him for that. But I wasn't any of that things. The team I was on would have won or lost without me, you know. But the things that I took from that have helped me and will help me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And now these kids had to learn a hard lesson like that. They learn it. You know, embrace the suck. Right now.
Yeah. And I will say this.
Turn to something else, like we said at the beginning.
I don't think we could have won without your Mark Wheeler impression. It was that crucial to that year.
Let me tell you something.
I thought maybe it was my nose guard.
I'm going to give you a couple points because we're not.
My ability to stuff the run.
We've also got to save some of this for our season preview next year.
Yeah.
But I will say this. You might have one of the biggest numbers of kids out for Pikeville that you've ever seen.
We had 28th graders this year.
20 plus 8th graders.
And you lose 5 seniors.
You have.
Listen, if you think you're going to play on that team, you better get to work right now.
Yeah.
Because you had a lot of sophomores and
everybody
juniors
on this team.
You better get to work.
I told Corbin this the other day. Everybody on this team, when you're sitting in that house.
Somebody's getting better.
When you're playing video games. When you're sitting there watching television or watching whatever it is that you kids do. I don't know what you're doing.
I think it's YouTube.
Or YouTube or your iPad or pad or whatever it is.
Get on with it.
When you're sitting there and you're doing that, I want you to think, there's somebody out there getting better than me. There's something else I can do.
There always is.
Never be complacent.
And I think that
and
now.
And we learned that Friday night.
And I think we're going to have, like you said, this is a wake-up call.
Yeah.
This is a time where they're going to look at this and say,
you look at the Mac era.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we do much better as the hunter than we do the hunter.
We do. Yeah. And when you have 80-plus kids out next year, which I firmly predict that, at least 70.
It's going to be a lot.
And it's going to help your depth.
Yeah, you're going to see.
But you have to use them.
Yeah.
You
got to use them.
And I think that they are going to look at this and say, hey, we got some other players on this team, too, that we have got time to develop now.
Yes.
And when we develop them, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be dangerous.
Yeah. In a regular year, that would have happened, I firmly believe.
And they're ticked off now.
And they're ticked off. In 2019, after they got beat by Beachwood, you saw the results. I firmly, and I'm calling it right now, I firmly expect the same thing. But it's all up to these kids. It's all up to these kids.
And they've got some fire, man. Just their personalities. I'm telling you, I've seen some fire out of them this year. I can't even imagine what they're going to be like with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah.
And Well, here's another thing we haven't thought of. Starting, what does it start next week at region where if a team gets COVID?
I think it's this week.
What if Hazard gets COVID?
Well, I don't know. We can't say that. I don't know if it's the semis and the finals.
I mean, knowing
Coach Mack the way I do, Coach Mack will just tell them we forfeit.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I wouldn't want to play knowing I just got my butt booked. I mean, that's just me. Well,
you got beat, man.
Yeah, you got beat, but somebody has to play. But we don't even know if that's the rules.
So right, I just thought of that.
I'd really like to play Paintsville, but that's just me.
But, you know.
I mentally, dude, I don't even know if you can get a team back after this.
This thing right here.
To be honest with you. Right now.
They're young.
Right now.
They're pliable.
I'm just going to say this. I've had the best time with you boys over these last couple weeks covering this team.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Yeah. The pre-games, the regular, I mean, you know, the podcast on Sunday.
Think about how many people we've met that has been at my house.
Yeah,
it's been fun all summer and in the fall. It's been awesome.
And football is a huge passion of mine and Bubs and Doug's, and we love it, and we're going to continue to cover it. And one little loss like this ain't going to stop us, guys.
No, man.
We're just going to – this is for – I want to put this out there and let everybody understand this. We're not doing this for personal gain. We're doing it because we love this program. We love these kids.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why we're doing
Definitely.
It. And we're going to continue to do it because we believe in these kids, win, lose, or draw.
We believe in these coaches. We believe in this community.
We believe in this community. And we're never going to bash them. We might have our opinions, which they may not like, but at the same time.
We're playing the stupid rap music.
And listen, here's another thing. You know what? Guys,
I feel like the guy on The Simpsons, man yells at cloud.
Yeah, you're coming off a state championship year. This is one loss with a young team. Okay, this is uptown problems. This was our investment year. We invested in a lot of young dudes who are going to produce next year, too.
Yeah.
So for the next 2 years, some of them.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's looking bright here.
And I'm telling you, you're going to want to stay tuned to our season preview next season because I'm telling you, it's going to be a great one. We didn't have a guest on tonight because we figured everybody was a little salty and
Corbin.
Probably so.
Yeah.
And Corbin,
yeah.
Get in the stinking weight room.
Yeah.
We may burn down Bulls Edition next year for the preseason, like, go get them finale.
And hopefully,
I'll tell you what, who knows what's going to happen next year?
Who knows?
Yeah.
We say here in April, and I mean, could we think that WYMT was going to be on our show? Camille Gear from WYMT.
Yeah, it's been a cool year.
That Troy Howe from KSR was going to be on our show. Man, it's been a heck of a daggone ride.
I'll go ahead and tell you.
And there's no two other people and three now that I would rather be on it with than you guys.
I am pretty cool. You're right.
Shut up.
But
that doesn't mean I like you. It means that I love you.
Also, Bub, did you ever think in a million years that a sponsor like Bruce Walters Ford would sponsor
us? That's part of the ride, dude.
Pharmacy. We got multiple sponsors. This is cool.
Yeah.
We got people who are, you know, think enough of us and believe enough in us and trust us. You know, and this whole community, I think, kind of trusts us to tell the truth without being mean about it, because I think at the end of the day, their hearts, at the end of the day, hell Pikeville, but at the end of the day, you know, always hell Pikeville. I don't care if Hazard would have beat us by 50 the other night, I'm still screaming it.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, this community trusts us. You know, and because they know where our heart's at.
Yeah.
Our heart's with these kids. Our heart's with this school. You know, this is not some, it's a passion project for us. It's not something for us to make us say, here I am.
Yeah. And nobody's making money from it. It's just thing to do. Yeah,
other than me, that's just my personality, though.
All right, guys, real quick before we end this podcast, let's do some quick basketball predictions. Real quick.
We're going to state and we're going to win it. By 40.
You got Martin County out there. Paintsville's always usually a team that could give us some problems. I'm not saying they're better than us, but they usually give us some problems.
Yeah.
Shelby Valley's always going to be in the mix. My prediction is that last year we took Martin County, the eventual winner of the region, with two key starters out with injury. The whole backcourt out with injury.
Power forward, you know, playing point guard.
Yeah.
Well, he's more of a two guard, but that helped him develop.
So you're going to have to help me with that, Doug. I don't know the ones and twos.
Riley,
and all that stuff.
Listen, you got now a 6'7" point guard who's really getting looks from some big time places. All right.
Yeah.
And our team, we got Lucas Mann's transferred in. Big piece of the puzzle. And we've got some killer guys. Nick Robinson's back.
Cousin Nick.
Tate is playing. You know, we got a solid team.
Yeah, we won't hold it against
and
him.
And I love how people are overlooking them. That's the thing. They don't feel that pressure, but I'm telling you, I hope we get to play some basketball.
We just took a...
Because them boys can play.
We just took a fully healthy Martin County team to overtime with a bunch of kids that didn't have a lot of experience besides Riley.
And young.
And we took them to overtime in the region to compete with that. Yeah. Elijah Justice gets the job done, plain and simple.
He does.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I can't wait to watch some of these games because I think this is going to be a fun team to watch.
It's going to be. And they play above the rim, guys.
Every time I say Elijah's name on this podcast, I will follow it with, thank you, Shelby Valley.
because let me tell you, it's going to be fun.
If we do not get death threats from people from Shelby Valley this year, we are not
doing our jobs.
Yeah.
We all three deserve to be fired.
So, guys, really tune into basketball because it's going to get fun.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun. And we've got a guy over here that knows his stuff. I've said it many a times. You know, football, yeah, we understand Pikeville's known as a football school, but guess what? Basketball is coming, and it's coming hard.
Well, let me tell you something
about
that. It's
coming fast,
yeah. Well, and I'm going to tell you my opinion about that. And that's one of the really cool things about this school. It's not just football anymore.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it's a golden era.
You put on that maroon uniform in anything, from football, basketball, to
softball,
to mumbly peg. I don't care. You kids look that up. My grandpa always told me about Mumbly.
And also, Bub, I'm sorry to interrupt, but let's not forget about our region championship girls team.
You're daggone right,
that
man.
Is coming.
Also, our cheerleaders.
Yeah.
It's getting ready to be cheerleading season in February.
Let me tell you something. Christy Oram has a squad.
Yeah.
And they are going to be dangerous.
Them and Shelby Valley are going to fight some wars this year.
And the bad part is they're in the same district.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to see blood, sweat, and tears this year.
There's going to be some seriously good basketball played on the boys and girls team this year.
Cross your fingers.
And, I think by the end of the year.
Hey, for real though, January 1st, if they let people in the gym, wear your mask and stuff. Inside, it's not like football. Basketball is a lot more dangerous. All right, because we're indoors. Everybody take precautions. Spread out. Wear a mask. You know, for real.
Do your job. You know, we did a good job during football. Let's keep it up.
I got to commend everybody for that.
Yeah.
The coaches, the players, everybody.
Doug.
It could have easily.
Yeah.
Real quick, I got to ask you a question. And this is a big point. I know we got to do our season preview for basketball. But do you think that there is a possibility that we could be all A state champions this season?
Yes, I do. We have a lot of talent on that team. And honestly, we're sneaking up
on
people.
Didn't we win all A region last year?
No.
No.
Oh, we did.
Here's the thing. We're sneaking up on people because now we do have our backcourt back.
Yeah.
Zach actually now will get weeks of practice where he usually doesn't.
Yeah.
Also, man, I
wish he wouldn't have.
It's one of those times where we got a lot of basketball players that don't even play football. They've got a killer squad over there right now practicing.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I say that, there's four or five guys just dunking. It's awesome. It's going to be good. And they're not just big guys. They can do it all.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
I can't wait for those Martin County matchups. That's going to be awesome.
I think it'll be anticlimactic, JR. I'm calling my shot.
Oh, boy.
All right. You know, the monster in the middle, Trey James.
Doug's going to get shot at by some people from Martin County.
So. Got to be able to move.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I got faith in them too, and I watched a little bit of them last year. Man, you better come to play when you play Pikeville.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you that right now. But, guys, this depressing yet upbeat podcast is now
going to... Yeah, it ended on a better note.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
And let us know if you want to do the next 2-3 weeks with the football playoffs.
This was a cleansing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you know, in New Age talk, you know, this was a sweat.
Yeah,
you know, we had to go in here and light a fire. And yeah.
We're in the honeycomb hideout. Yeah. In the
honeycomb hideout. You know, we had to sweat out all the negativity.
So this negative yet positive podcast is going to conclude tonight. Thank you to our great sponsors, Bruce Walters Ford and Faith Pharmacy. If you need a car or you need a rear end thermometer, please call Bruce Walters or Faith Pharmacy. Those are great people.
Yeah, not to confuse them, though.
Yeah,
don't call Bruce for a thermometer.
Don't go in there and ask
Bruce. Hazard, like, hey, told me to.
Hazard took care of the rear end thermometer giving us
Friday
morning.
So thank you to you guys. But we're going to end it tonight. We will be doing the basketball podcast. Let us know, like Doug said, let us know if you want us to keep doing podcasts. We'll try to get guests on here if they're not, you know, hiding
just
under a rock.
For the next 3 weeks in football.
Yeah.
And yell at me if you choose. You're going to be wrong, but just yell at me over the money thing on third down. Please don't do it ever again.
Okay. So, yeah, make sure you tell Bub all about how you didn't like his take or liked his take, whatever you want to do there. But tonight this will be up on my Facebook, J.R. Robinson. It will be up on Allison Doug Powers' Facebook. It'll also be up on Bub's Facebook, Heath Robinson. It'll be up on my Instagram. Hopefully, I've got my Wi-Fi fixed now, and it's working the way I need it to. And I'll have the tutorial on there to show you guys how to subscribe to us and get all the episodes and all that good
stuff. And I think we got our Wi-Fi fixed.
I hope so. You can also check it out on Bub's Twitter, which will be Heath_Smash, and Doug's Twitter, which will be just Doug Powers.
At Doug Powers.
Yes. We really hope you guys really actually want to do more podcasts and listen to us and us keep this up. I know it's a hard time. I know that this is tough. It's been tough on us. Just because, you know, we want to keep doing podcasts, but because we want you all to feel like, hey, we're here.
We were
all
sitting there texting each other about 2 hours after the game Friday night at midnight going, what the heck are we going to do from here on?
Yeah, this is a hard time, but guess what? We're here to make these hard times.
We're not going anywhere, man.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. So this is what we do. We love doing it, and we're just going to keep doing it. So thank you guys so much for listening. It's been a heck of a year. It's filled with good times. I know we lost, but it was filled with great times with watching these boys.
It really was.
It's an up and down year, but guess what? You know, I'm so excited for the future, and I can't wait. And
a lot of people got experience this year that needed it.
Yeah.
This was not a wasted year, guys.
Hey,
not
and we
at
got
all.
I got some T-shirts in my car, and Doug's got some T-shirts in his house right now that need to be given out, so you know, let's go win some ball games next year and give out some T-shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Summon your inner John Column.
Yes. We got it out. We got to figure out a way to get John Column on the basketball edition or it's going to be bad. You know, that rebound would have been got by John Column.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys. We love you. And at the end of the day, hail Pikeville.